RTE News and Current Affairs.
As an island people, it is no surprise that we used seaweed for centuries as food, as fertilizer, even as fodder for animals. But while edible seaweeds have continued to be ranked highly in the culinary hierarchies of Japan and China and Korea, the use of seaweeds here and across the Western world has diminished as the modern Ireland emerged during the 20th century. However, there is a revival brewing, led in part by my next guest, Sligo GP Dr. Prani Rattigan. She wants to see us back on the shoreline harvesting seaweeds. She says it's time for the vegetables of the sea to become an integral part of our daily diets once again. And she has an absolutely fabulous new book. It's called Irish Seaweed Kitchen, the comprehensive guide to healthy everyday cooking with seaweeds. Good morning, Prani. You're very welcome to the programme.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, as a GP, you extol the medicinal properties of seaweeds, and there are many. It's not just seaweed. There's loads of them.
There are. There are very many seaweeds, and certainly they are powerhouses of nutrients. We would be very familiar with the dillisk, or the dulse, as it's called in Northern Ireland. Carrageen is another very familiar one to the Irish people. The nori is Japanese, but it's our slauk, our sloke, our
so we have
slauk
it all.
On. We have it all.
We have it
we
all.
Do.
Now, one of the things that immediately jumped out at me is that you say that research has shown that seaweeds have an apoptotic effect on cancer cells. What does that mean?
It means that they can actually destroy cancer cells in this research that's being done, and they have a protective effect on the normal cells.
So you can zap the cancer cells while leaving the normal ones intact?
Yes, I mean, this is currently in animal model studies.
So in theory, if you're looking at chemotherapy, for example,
yes,
that here you'd have a chemotherapy that leaves everything else alone but only harms the cancer cells that are doing you harm.
Yes, as an adjuvant, that's the way that it's looking at the moment. And there's research ongoing in South Carolina in the Cancer Research Centre there. And there's also research in Tasmania. And they're now at the point where they're actually looking at people as opposed to animals.
And which cancers are they focusing on?
Particularly breast cancer, and particularly the wakame, or the that would be a familiar one in Japan. That's our Alaria, our Atlantic wakame.
All right, let's talk about the seaweeds then. There are different families. There's brown seaweed, there's red seaweed, there's green seaweed.
Yes, and they all have different properties and different nutrient contents. So I suppose it's like, as you say, it's different vegetables. They are as dissimilar to each other in ways as vegetables are, as an array of vegetables. So they're very interesting.
All right. Now, can you find them in different places? For example, the reds, are they all together or are they scattered around the coast in different places?
They tend to be varied in different parts of Ireland, all right. But, you know, some more common than others.
Let's go through dillisk. What does that have? What's good for us about dillisk?
Well, all of them are actually multi-mineral, multivitamin and bursting with trace elements. And dillisk is particularly high in iron. So again, very useful. It's particularly high in vitamin C when it's fresh and at different times of the year.
Nori? The same vitamins?
Yeah, very high in protein, actually. And again, a great boost this time of the year. This is the time of the year that we harvest the nori, just right after the first frosts.
All right, so it's seasonal as well?
Seasonal as well.
Carrageen?
Carrageen would be St. Patrick's Day, would be the first flush, and then right on through the summer and into the autumn. So again, very, very useful, always available.
The brown seaweeds include sea spaghetti.
Yes, and you're going to taste that very shortly.
Oh, very good.
Yeah?
The sargassum?
Sargassum crept in on us from the Sargassum Sea. It's an invasive seaweed that came in about 3 years ago into the Sligo area. So again, we're now hearing that its potential therapeutic properties are in the treatment of HIV, AIDS.
Wow.
Very interesting antiviral properties.
Alaria?
Alaria, again, absolutely bursting. That's the one where a lot of the research is in the breast cancer.
Because the Japanese call that wakame.
Wakame, they call that wakame. And, you know, thankfully, clinics, you know, the actual double-blind clinical work is now happening in the research, because we need much more research.
There's all sorts of other ones. There's kelps, sugar kelp. There's bladder rack. What's
bladder rack? Bladder rack is your fucus vesiculosus. Again, people would be familiar with seeing that one on the beach.
And why
again,
is it called bladder
it's
rack?
Delicious because it has bladders. It has air bladders to keep it afloat.
All right, and egg rack?
Egrac, again, wonderful for the garden, that particular one. That's the asco, it's also called in other places.
Now, your book obviously helps us to identify these.
Yes, it does.
Because,
yes.
I mean, seaweed is seaweed to most people.
It
that's
is.
It.
But I have to say that I would recommend that people would actually go to a shop and ask their suppliers or ask the shop person to contact the suppliers and to actually start with packets, because technically we're actually not supposed to remove anything from the foreshore because of the Foreshore Act of 1933.
Which is why they're not taking the beach sand for
yes,
gritting the roads at the
yes.
moment.
Yes, and you know, in ways I can see why, because one can do a lot of damage if you just go to the seashore and actually pull a seaweed up. And I really would strongly advise people not to go down.
You advise us how to harvest it as well.
I do, because in other countries they don't have those particular laws. So this is an international book, and while we have you know, particular law in our country for, which is governed by the Department of the Marine, and we have to, and there are heavy fines as well. I think it's important that people know that it can be done, and a little haircut, a little, you know, with a sharp knife or a scissors, a little haircut isn't going to do any seaweed
and
any harm.
And it will regenerate.
And it
then.
Will regenerate. It's the pulling up of the seaweed. It's like going out to the garden and pulling up. You know, a plant of parsley,
yeah.
as has been done in my garden on occasion by people who just may not know.
And they just take the root out and then it's gone.
Pull the whole lot up.
Whereas you want to do that with a dandelion, you don't necessarily want to do it with parsley.
Yes, that's right. And yeah, and I think, and I give courses in the Organic Centre in County Leitrim, and when I set off on the courses, I say to people, do not pull up any of the seaweeds, because it's just, we must harvest in a very sustainable way.
Now, as I say, the book tells you how to harvest, tells you how to identify. It's full of fabulous recipes. Baked lemon cheesecake with nori, baked pears with green tea and sugar kelp, mackerel coated in honey, seaweed and whole grain mustard. I'm just opening the book at random. Where did you get all the recipes?
Well, I grew up using seaweed because my father was very keen that we'd go down and we'd look at everything that was there on the shore. My mother's a great cook, and many of her recipes are in the book. And then I thought it would make it very interesting, because people often say to me, dead easy for you, you've grown up using seaweed. But I wanted to actually encourage people who had never cooked with it. So I gave them a challenge, friends, colleagues and celebrity chefs as well.
So this is a compendium of all their efforts.
Well, it is, because then people have no excuse, and they're easy. It's easy to do.
Okay.
It's easy to add in seaweed.
Now, here's the test.
Yes.
The taste test.
You've yes,
brought
it
some
is.
Stuff in that you've cooked yourself with seaweed.
Yes.
And I've got to taste. What am I starting with?
You're starting with the dillisk and cheese scone, and that I hope at this stage is nicely warmed, because they are very nice when they're warmed.
Divine.
Good. Mm. And so that is one that actually people, when they come on courses, say, if I go home able to make that one, that's good enough for me. And indeed, when that was coming out of the oven, my little girl was kind of waiting, saying, are they ready yet? So children love them as well. So I think it definitely dispels that yuck factor that anybody might have about seaweed.
Absolutely divine. Now,
this is sea spaghetti that you mentioned earlier, and
these look like fingers.
They
biscuit
do. They're
fingers.
Straws. Yes, they're cheese straws with sea spaghetti, and again, they're a little treat, a little you know, a little canapé, or if you're having guests in, they're gorgeous. Yeah, they're gorgeous. Again, they just fly. Children just sneak up and grab another one.
Now, I don't taste the seaweed. I didn't in the scone particularly.
Are
you kind of giving us a spoonful of sugar to help the seaweed medicine go down?
Well,
or
no.
Is it a vital ingredient in the formation of the taste?
Actually, it's the taste and the texture. The sea spaghetti is a mild, nutty type flavour, which you're getting in that. And the dillisk has a sort of a spicy flavour, which you would have picked up in the dillisk and cheese scones. So again, you were...
No, I was going to say, I got a text here from Mary in Cork. I used to bathe my eczema son with seaweed. Great results.
Yes, and I brought you a little seaweed bath for when you go home,
okay.
Which is the first seaweed bath done in Ireland from Carrick Father, from Sligo, County Sligo. And that's going to be a nice treat. Again, bathing in seaweed is a wonderful tradition in Ireland. And, you know, people can actually go and enjoy a bath in Voya seaweed in Sligo as well. You're going to taste something else.
I'm reluctant to leave the savoury because they're so good.
So delicious.
But I have what looks like plump pudding here.
Well, your next step here is your seaweed smoothie. That's your kind of transition from your savoury into your sweet. So you need a little spoon for that one, which is just right here. And that one
is very good.
It's gorgeous. That's what I have for breakfast every morning. It's a mix of kale and spinach, and the Ilaria is in that one.
I had smoothie this morning with raspberries and strawberries and other bits and pieces, banana.
Yes.
So I could have added seaweed.
You could indeed.
A good effect.
Yeah, great effect. And I have some here from you, again from Carrickfather, some of their wonderful Ilaria, because there are great harvesters around the country. There's so many products that you can use, that you can add, because seaweed can be the starring ingredient in a particular recipe, or it can be an add-on, just a spoonful of health added on, like the sea spice from Quality Sea Veg. All of these can be available in your
shops. There's a whole industry out there. I didn't know
that. There is. And I have listed all the suppliers on my website, which is just simply www.pranie.com. All the suppliers are there. You can just simply print it off, bring it to your shop and say, order these in. These are Irish seaweed harvesters who do a fabulous job. I'm going to get you to taste the carrot cake next. Now, the carrot cake, you mentioned the nori or slough. That's packed with the slough, which is in season at the moment. As I say, people call it slough on, they call it sloke, they call it laver in Wales. And the laver bread would be something that would be actually very, would be more of a breakfast.
I love carrot
thing.
Cake. This is terrific.
It's a beautiful carrot cake. I have been invited to so many parties on the head of that. Yeah, it's very moist, very delicious. I get invited to parties. People say, would you bring the carrot cake as well by any chance? So I think, and that recipe is in the book as well. All these recipes are in the book. That one is just in the breads and cakes section.
And finally, I have to say what it looks like, a plum pudding.
It is a plum pudding because today, of course, is the 6th of January and it's the women's Christmas. Last night was the eve of the women's Christmas. And I must thank Rhoda Draper. I used her kitchen this morning. We celebrated the women's Christmas last night because I came up to Dublin early to avoid
the
snow.
Make sure you got here.
Yeah. And it was great to have the use of her kitchen for all of that. So happy little Christmas.
Absolutely divine.
Yeah.
The book is called Irish Seaweed Kitchen, Pranny Rattigan's Irish Seaweed Kitchen, the comprehensive guide to healthy everyday cooking with seaweeds. It's an encyclopedia. And it's published by Booklink. Do we have a price on it yet, Pranny?
Yes, it's 35.
35.
Yes, 35 in the shops.
In a very handsome hardback. This is one that you'll keep for years.
Yes, it is. And it's getting great, great response from both the food writers and from the seaweed experts around the world. So I'm just thrilled with the response. And it's in all the bookshops.
Terrific.
And from the website
terrific
as well.
Book. All right. Well, thank you very much, Pranny, for joining us.